Okay, so we're holding on K-test some of the Alice definition. Okay, so we learned in the previous Mishnah that korbanos that come more often precede korbanos that come less often. So the Talmud comes before Musafim, and among Musafim themselves, the ones of Shabbos come before Rosh Chodesh and so forth. So now we're going to talk about another criteria, which is not how often they come, but which one has greater kedusha than the other. Later on, eventually, the Gemara is going to deal with what if you have one opposite the other? What if you have one has more kedusha, but the other one is more tadir? Which one comes first? We'll deal with that later on, Tzadik Aleph. But for meanwhile, we're going to first deal with what is considered, which korban is considered to be more kaddish than the next. And we're going to see, and as we go through the Mishnah, we'll see there's a lot of different factors involved. So the Mishnah starts off, kolam kodesh mechaveres, any korban that has a certain aspect in which it has greater kedusha than another korban, kodesh mechaveres, then it comes before that korban. In a certain aspect, because we'll see as we go through. Rashi says, sheyesh by sad ribui kedusha mechaveres. There's a certain aspect, a certain angle in which it has greater kedusha than the other. Then it precedes it. Kodesh mechaveres. So, whatever temperature, etc. So, dam a chatas kodim la dam ha'oila. So, the blood of a chatas is sprinkled before the blood of an oila, meaning Rashi says you have, both of them have already been shechted. The question is only which one do you sprinkle first. The chatas comes first, because the chatas comes to be mechaper for a person, merasa, meaning it comes to make him acceptable by Hashem again, for including for a chatas is brought for cases where a person is chayav kares, where you need a risui gadol, as Rashi says, you need a big, very strong thing to make the person acceptable to Hashem again, as opposed to an oila. We learned at the beginning of the sechta as mechaper for chayav eses, for other such things which are in a certain sense less serious. So the chatas comes first. Evrei oila kodmin. On the other hand, the Ivarim, the limbs of an Ola, are offered on the Mizveah before the fat of the Chatas. In other words, once the blood's been sprinkled. First comes the Ola of the morning, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about in the middle of the day, you have an Ola and a Chatas being brought at the same time.
And then the
Dava. Well, Chatas not in Dava, but whatever, yeah.
Whatever, they could be
personal korbanos, let's say, yeah. Most days that you bring a korban mussaf, you don't bring personal korbanos anyway. Either you can't bring personal korbanos on Shabbos. Okay, I guess the Shlodesh and Salamoy, you go, okay. So when it comes to blood, the chatas comes first because it's merasa. On the other hand, when it comes to what the parts that you burn on the mizbeach, evorei oila, kodmin, emorei chatas, the limbs of the oila, come before the emorim of the chatas, mepeshu kolali ishu, because in that sense, the oila has greater kedusha because the whole thing is burned on the mizbeach.
So that's the sad
that it has greater kedusha relative to a chatas. Right. Chatas kodemus l'asham. Next, the chatas, where if you have a chatas and an asham, that'll take place.
So then the chatas comes before.
So the blood of the chatas comes before the blood of the oila, but the evorim of the oila come before the emurim of the chatas. Yes.
Why did you say again the evorim of the oila?
Because there's kolal l'ishim, neshul kolal l'ishim, because it's neshul kolal l'ishim, because it's completely burned, because it's completely consumed on the fire, right?
Of course, the whole...
The whole thing, in other words, as opposed to the chatas, where only parts of it are burned on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Christ.
Wait, there's something I'm missing with an oila. How do you burn it? You do two parts, you do the body and then the lens, or...
No. So with an oila, what they do is after they shech and they sprinkle the blood, they skin it, They cut it up into pieces, the nikach osel and sachav, and then they take all those pieces up to the mizbeach and burn them there.
So when you say a part, you mean
just the whole thing, all the pieces of it, right. Yeah. Okay. Chatas kodemus la'asham. Next, if you have a chatas and an asham taking place at the same time, the chatas comes ahead of the asham. Because the blood of the chatas is applied more times to the mizbeach, more as compared to the osham you have, shema chonas treinava, and also the blood of it goes on the yisod. Now, what do you mean the blood of it goes on the yisod? All korbanos, the blood goes on the yisod. So Rashi says, the shirayim by the osham, Rashi says, it doesn't specifically say that you have to pour it on the yisod. So now, the fact of the matter is, according to most Rishonim, you do. We did learn, back in Perek Ezel Makoman, we learned there were some Rishonim. We had Rabbeinu Ephraim, for example, saying over there that actually you do not have to. the fact that we had in the Ezel Mekonim, we had by the Chatoris HaPnimius, it says you have to pour the Shirayim on the Yisod Ma'arovi. By the Chatoris Tzitzono, it says you pour it on the Yisod Jeromi. After that, beginning from Mishnah Dalet and on, or Ola Kodesh Kadoshim, it doesn't mention anything about the Shirayim. So in fact, you have Rabbeinu Ephraim wants to say that in fact, by other Korbanos, you don't have to pour it on the Shirayim at all. You don't have to pour it on the Yisod at all. Tosfos also discusses there another opinion of Ramosha Mikontoza, who says that who says maybe technically you do, but the difference is that with other korbanos, not necessarily that there has to be blood left for shirayim. Because when it comes to the chatas, you're dipping in your finger and daubing it on the four corners. Inevitably, there's always going to be some left over. But when it comes to the ola and the osham and so forth, the shtem upon a shein ava, conceivably you could end up splashing and on the two corners of the mizbeach, and all the blood ends up coming out of the mizbeach. So you're not obligated to make sure that there should be shirayim left over. Not everybody agrees to all of that, and the Tosfos Yom Tov says more straightforwardly another way of explaining it, even if we say that you do have to do it by all the korbanos, but the difference is by the chatas it says explicitly, and by the osham it doesn't say explicitly, we only do either from the chatas, so therefore it's in that sense less important. Okay. Okay, so that's as far as the chatas versus osham.
Like it's about it being the occupant.
We know for sure it's not ma'akas by any of the, korbanos that are burned on the, that are on the outer mizbeach. By the Chatoris HaPnimius, we had a machlokes whether it's ma'akas.
Oh, there is machlokes panoim. Whether
machlokes panoim by the Chatoris HaPnimius, whether it's ma'akas or not. Everybody agrees by the Chatoris HaPnimius. Okay. Next.
Even though the Mishnah said
Right. Osham kodim v'toida ve'el nazir. Next, an osham comes before toida or ram of another. Basically, we're going in the same order that they are in the Mishnayos and Ezel Mekonim, because they're also pretty much in the same order. Yeah. So the osham comes before them because they're listed in the same order. Over there, going from more to from greater to lesser position. So the osham comes before the toida and the ram of the nazir. Because the osham, as compared to them, is kodesh kodeshim. Because the Oshim is Kodshe Kodshim, where the compared to a Toda and the Ram of a Nazir, which are Kodshim Kalim. Tosfos points out, usually also an Oshim comes for Kapara, but the difference is that not all Oshimis do. The Oshim of a Nazir and the Oshim of a Mitzvah don't come for Kapara either. In those cases, if there's a Kodshim, they have to bring an Oshim, right? Nevertheless, Tosfos says, I mean, the fact is, when it comes to a chatas also, not all chatas come for kapara. You also have a nazir and a third also bring a chatas, and they're also as lahakshu, it's to make them able to eat korbanos and able to shave their head, etc. But the main point is, Tosfos says, you can't just say by an ola that the thing is that it's mahaper, because then you could argue against that. The fact is, on the other hand, a toda and the ram of a nazir have an advantage over the asham, as we see in the Gemara, in that you have to bring bread with them. You have to bring the 40 loaves of the toda or the 20 loaves with the ram of a nazir. So therefore, just saying that the asham is brought for kapara, even if we argued that most ashamites are, that wouldn't be enough. Therefore, we have to use the reason, therefore the Mishnah has to use the reason, that the asham is kodshe kodshim, and that outweighs any business with that you bring extra bread with the other one.
Because
it brings
kapara,
no? No, not necessarily, no. An oil doesn't specifically bring kapara, and it's kodshe kodshim.
What makes it
kodshe kodshim? What the Torah says. The Torah calls it kodshe kodshim. The Torah gives the rules for it for kodshe kodshim, and it's kodshe kodshim. That's it. So the oila, the shlomim, the oila, the chatas, the osham, the mincha, and most of the public korbanos, and the shalmei tzibur of shavuot. Those are all kodshe kodshim. Those are all kodshe kodshim. And as usual, you have a number of different rules. You have kodesh kodshim can only be eaten in the Azara, they can only be eaten by the male kohenim, Me'ilah applies to them from the beginning, as opposed to kodesh kalim, where Me'ilah only applies to the emurim on the akkus. That's the point. Why the kodesh kodshim? Because it sort of says the kodesh kodshim. Okay. Next.
What's the
some of them it actually says kodesh kodashim, but some of them it spells out the rules about them. It spells out that they can only be eaten by Zuchir Kohona, and they can only be eaten in the Azara, and so forth, and that makes them kodesh kodashim. Okay. Next, Toda ve'el nazir kodmin mishlamim. The Toda and the ram and the nazir, on the other hand, come before regular shlamim, because they can only be eaten for one day, as opposed to the shlamim for 2 days, meaning, therefore, they have greater kudusha, because there's a shorter amount of time you can eat them. And also a toga and an el nazir have another advantage over the shlomim in that you have to bring bread with them. 40 loaves for the toga and 20 for the el nazir.
20, but it's all master.
Right, in the case of the el nazir, it's all master. In the case of the toga, it's 30 master, 10 times. Okay. Next, Hashlamim Kodmin L'Bechor, Hashlamim comes before Bechor.
And Pesach,
you don't offer a Korban Torah, which is indeed why we don't say Mizmor L'Torah on Erev Pesach or throughout Pesach, because it has to come with 10 loaves of Chametz. Yeah.
Right. We don't even do it before.
Because then you'd have aim of being kosher on the Pesach store, which we dealt with earlier, that you would be shortening the time. Hashlamim Kodmin L'Bechor, Hashlamim comes before Bechor. Again, in Ezra Mekoyman, that's how we have it. Shlomim is Mishnah Zayin, Bechor is in Mishnah Ches. Mepnei Shein Tonin Matan Dalid, because the Shlomim, unlike the Bechor, the blood has to be applied in four places on the Mizeach, Shem Matan Ashrein Ava, but it means it comes down on all four sides, as opposed to the Bechor of Matana Achat, there's only one Matana.
We
said by Shlomim. By Shlomim, you dash it against the corners, but you do Shem Matan Ashrein Ava, one here, as opposed to Bechor, you just do one along some wall of the, Well, no, we said it will have to be connected by Yisod. It has to be someplace above the Yisod, so only on the western and the northern side.
Where you go down.
Right. Okay. So that's one advantage of a shlomim over a bechor, because they need more applications of blood to the back. Also, it was smicha. The shlomim requires smicha, the bechor doesn't. Or nesachim, the shlomim is brought with nesachim, with flour and wine and oil, whereas the bechor is not. Or snufa tchaz v'shoik, and the shlomim, you wait, the owner and the kohen together wave the chest and the right leg of the right front leg of the korban before they give it to the kohen, whereas by bechor you don't have any such thing. Next. So those are all advantages, so therefore those are all advantages, those are all in that sense, therefore the shlomim has a greater position than bechor. And the Gemara is going to ask on all of these, because in each of these, you could argue the other way around. For example, the bechor is kaddish from when it's born, the shlomim only becomes kaddish later, but that's it. Okay. Habchur kodim l'maisa. The bechor comes before maisa behema. Bechor and maisa, the blood is applied in the same way from the zeach. But the bechor is neshek kedushas merachem, because it's kaddish from when it's born, unlike maisa. The nechal kodim, and it's only eaten by the kodim, as opposed to maisa, is eaten by anybody. Maisa kodim l'oisa. Maiser behema comes before. Now we don't mention any oifus, chatas or oila, right? And by the way, I mean we don't mention the korban pesach over here, which is an ezer b'korban, for the obvious reason that you're not bringing any other korbanos at the same time you bring the korban pesach. As a matter of fact, this is actually the korban chamed takes the korban pesach. I mean, takes place in the afternoon after the korban chamed shabena abayim. You don't bring any other korbanos at that point. You have the rare exception, talks about in Stockholm, if you have a person who's Makos or Kapara, and he wouldn't like a Zav or whatever, and he has to bring his Karbonis, without that he won't be able to eat from the Karbon Pesach, then fine, he can bring his Karbonis that afternoon also, but otherwise not.
He's got a lot of eating to
do. Okay, granted. Alright, no, not really, actually, anyway.
Yeah,
the Chathas was eaten by the Karbon.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. So Meister Kodim Lo'ofis, so Meister Behema comes before any bird, with Meshu Zevach, because Meister is a korban, in other words, an animal korban, where most korbanos are animal korbanos, and therefore in that sense it has, there's more kedusha in the sense, there's more mitzvahs that are done with animal korbanos. They have more stolim in them, that's true. The Yeshva Kodesh Kodoshim, and within animal korbanos, you have two different things that the Yeshva Kodesh Kodoshim, Dome the Emurim. You have, when it comes to animal korbanos, the blood and the Emurim both go on the Mizeach. As opposed to when it comes to a chatas or if you only have the blood, all the rest of it is eaten by the, including all the fat and everything, is eaten by the owner. So it's true, with an oil, the whole thing is burnt on the Mizeach, but still, since we're going to say in a second that Chatas Sa'ov comes before oil Sa'ov, just like with Behemoth, then if Maiser comes before even a Chatas Sa'ov, how much more so it comes before oil Sa'ov? Ha'ov is coming on the birds in turn come before Menachos, because birds involve dam, they involve blood, and blood, there's more kapara involved in that. The typical kapara that's done with a korban is by sprinkling blood. So therefore, in that sense, birds are more in that category. It's very secure. I'll add on that before it is. The whole point of kapara with blood, the life of the creature is in its blood, and the whole point, one of the points of korbanos is meant to be the idea that the person should realize that the animal or the bird is substituting for him, whereby rights that these things should happen to him. So therefore, there's a greater feeling of kapara when it comes to bringing a bird and having its blood sprinkled or squeezed out or whatever onto the Mizeach than there is with a mincha, which is, after all, an inanimate object. Okay. Minchas choytev kodem or minchas nedava. Next, the mincha that a choytev brings, that's for a kodem ol of a yored, that comes before regular mincha that a person donates. Make sure Barches, because it's coming because of an Aveira, and therefore that's the Kedusha, and it's the fact that it's Machasa, like we said about a Chasas and an Ola at the beginning of the Mishnah. And a Chasas La'oif comes before an Ola, within birds themselves. A Chasas La'oif comes before Ola La'oif. Behind that Desha, and the same thing as far as being Makdish then. If you bring a pair of birds, that usually when a person has to bring, when a person brings a Chasas La'oif, pretty much always they're bringing an Olas Ha'oif with it. And we learned earlier, we learned in a preview of Masech Tinyan, we had back in Samach Zayin, Samach Fes, we had where a person brings a pair of birds, and one possibility is they can designate ahead of time, this one's going to be the Chasas, this one's going to be the Ola. You designate them in that order. First you designate this one's going to be the Chasas, then you designate this one's going to be the Ola. We learned there you don't have to designate them. You could leave them undesignated for Truma, and then you leave it up to the Kohen to decide when he actually is master of them. That's the safest way to go, indeed. As long as the Kohen himself doesn't get mixed up with the Olympics.
Are you going to tell us why we go from the Minchas back to the birds?
So Shittim Kubetis actually says that there actually has a Jewish over here. Chasas behem akodim lo olas behem, chasas olas kodem lo olas olas. That in other words, the Mishnah is summarizing that a chasas comes ahead of an oila because it's a chaser, both when it comes to behemoth and when it comes to
oila.
And the point is mainly to point out that also, even when you have a pair that are being brought together, a chasas and an oila that are being brought together as part as one big unit, nevertheless, within that unit itself, a chasas comes ahead of the oila as far as being mastership.
May I ask about the minchas
tina? Minchas tina, that will deal with in the Gemara.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. The Gemara starts then. The Minchas Knois is going to be dealt with actually on Daf Samin, so we'll get there tomorrow, Rav Zishen.
I have to wait. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, Gemara starts off. Minahani Mil. Where do we know this concept from? That the blood of a Chasas comes before the blood of an Ola, the Ivorim of an Ola before the Imurim of a Chasas, and in general, where do we know this concept? Where do we know this concept that Kolam HaKodesh comes from? The Tamil Abonim, because we learn in a Braisa, so like this. The Pasuk describes, in connection with, so we have in Parashas Ba'aloispa, Hashem tells Moshe, now that the Levim are going to be inaugurated into helping out in the Mishkan, there's a procedure that needs to be done, and part of the procedure you have during the procedure, Aaron waves them all in the air anyway, part of the procedure was that they had to bring korban. They had to bring, they brought one bull for an Ola, and then another one for a Chasa. The Pasuk says, Parashani ben Boko tika for Chasa. A second bull from the cattle, you should bring for a chasas. So now the question is, why does it need to say the second one? In Bola Lama Chain Shnaim, is it just coming to tell us the basic fact that you have two animals? You don't need that. Hagekranyama, but also at the Echad Chasas, that's the Echad Ola. A few psukim later, it says he should offer one as a chasas and one as an Ola. So we know that there's two animals. Ma tamad loymo parsheni ben bako tika for chasas. So what's the point of mentioning the word sheni, that the second one should be brought for chasas? That's the question. Why does it need to mention? The reason is like this. She yokol shehe chasas kodemus l'chol maizke oyla. If you didn't have that process, you would think that maybe everything about a chasas should be done before the oyla. Because later on, when it comes to doing them, it says, va'aseh esal echad chasas, v'esal echad oyla. So maybe it means you do them in that order. First you do everything involving the chasas, and then you do everything involving the oyla. So therefore, because of that, hamadlaimo, farsheni, ben bakar, chikachu chasas, therefore it says the second one should be a chasas, implying that in a certain sense, it's secondary to the oyla. It's done second. Well, then if you're going to go with that, maybe it means the other way around. Maybe you do everything of the oila first. But on the other hand, when it comes to the axia of it, it says you do the chasas and then you do the oila. So what we wouldn't know. We need both stukim to teach it, because if you only add one of these stukim, you would think that everything of one comes before everything of the other. If you only had Farsheni ben Bakar, Tikach L'chatas, then you would think, okay, it says it's second. That means you do everything with the Ola first, and then you start on the Chatas. But if it says, Va'aseh Esa'echad Chatas, Esa'echad Ola, then you would think the other way around. Do everything of the Chatas first, then start on the Ola. Because we have both Sukkim, Hokesad, how do we reconcile the two Sukkim? dam chatas kodemus l'dam oilam and pnei shemirasa. What it is when it comes to the sprinkling of the blood, the chatas comes first because it's mirasa, because it's what accomplishes the kapara. But when it comes to the evarim, as we said in our mission, because the oilam is completely burned, therefore it comes first.
If you had either one or the other, you would say the chatas.
Either the chatas or the oilam comes first, you wouldn't know, like this is a myth, right? So then we said Avery Oila Hula, and on the other hand, the Evarim of the Oila are burned first. So the question is, because they're Kolil, so the question is, Hagor Sabah actually adds those words in, Meshein Kolil. So the question is, Vamai, Matona Kamai, Sidimachakra Sikum, Vahanach was. Fine, but based on the logic that you're saying, why shouldn't we say, okay, look, when it comes to the Chavas, what accomplishes the main Kapara is the first application of blood. We learned all the way back in the fourth Perek, we have Machlokes of the Shama B'Hillel, whether the Chavas, the minimum number you need to be Machaper is one or two. The Halacha is like B'Hillel that you only need one B'Dieved. And then fine, we should say that the one application of blood of the chatas comes first, because machaper, fine, but then after that, you should go and do the blood of the oila, and then continue with the chatas. At matana kamai says the machaper, the first matana, which is the one that does the essential kapara, tikdum, should come first, the hanach loyim, the other ones should not, because they don't really accomplish the kapara. Well, that's one second. Ravina. So Ravina says, yes, but you're not even necessarily talking about over here, about a chatas that's meant for kapara anyway. After all, what are the psukim we're talking about over here? The Parashini ben Bokar and the Ba'asar at the Echad Chatas, at the Echad Ola, these psukim are talking about the Chatas that was brought by the Levim in their inauguration, which wasn't really meant for Kapara. Now, it's called a Chatas, because it was brought like a Chatas. It was offered having in mind that it's a chatas. It actually mentions over there that symbolically the whole thing represented that they're bringing it for the chatas egel, and therefore that's why the levim had to shave, because a mesora is like a mess, and a bodhisattva is also like a mess, and therefore they had to shave like mesoraim. But it was a chatas that wasn't being brought for a specific avera. Similar to, you know, we had earlier in the Masechta, we had a couple dozen blocks ago, we talked about Chatas Nashon, the same thing, Chatas Nashon and the ones from Old Manasseum were also not meant for a specific kapara. They were called a Chatas, but they were called a Chatas, and again, symbolically of the Chatas on the Cheref Yosef or whatever, but they weren't brought for a specific named Aveira, one of the Shloish and Bashesh Krisis Shabbat Torah, like a normal Chatas.
It's interesting that the Levian did the Chatas and shaved
for the
kapara, but they were not
mishtapas. What do you mean they weren't mishtapas? Oh, they weren't mishtapas in the eagle. Right, well, that's they're kapara on behalf of the people. Okay, so anyway, so va'afa gav the ki oila dami, so therefore, even though this chatas in that sense is like an oila, it's not being brought for a specific avika, the chatas of Abim, nevertheless, kamar achmani, he picked them, and yet the pasuk is telling us that it comes first. So therefore, by analogy, in other words, we would say there's no reason to say that over there only the first Matana is doing kapara and the other three are not. Ultimately, no matana over there is really doing kapara because it's not being brought for kapara anyway. And yet the Torah is telling us that it goes first. So therefore, by analogy, when it comes to a regular chatas, you're not going to say you're looking only at the one which is machaser, you're looking at all of them. The Ma'arav Amri, you know, Israel, they said a little more straightforwardly, similar to what you were just saying. Hey, over his full Matanah's Gomer. Okay, look, once you're beginning with the Matanah to the Chatas, then finish it off. Don't interrupt them in the middle and do the Dam Ola and then resume the Chatas. Once you're starting on a certain mitzvah, then you finish it. Okay.
So they don't do it by the other.
So that's because they don't accept the other explanation, because still a Chatas is a Chatas, but nevertheless, yeah. Okay. So now we have a question as follows. Dam chatas the ezre oila ezre mehen kodim. Okay, so in the Mishnah we had blood of chatas versus blood of an oila, and we had a vorim of an oila versus a murim of a chatas. What about if you have blood of a chatas and a vorim of an oila, which have to be offered on the mizbeach? Which one ezre mehen kodim? Which one comes first? The question is dam chatas kodim and peshem rasta. Should we say that you sprinkle the blood of the chatas first because it's accomplishing kapara for the person and making him acceptable by Hashem again, whereas the ola is not so much for that? Or maybe the limbs of the ola come first because they're burnt, because the ola is completely burnt on the mizbeach, and therefore in that sense it has greater kedusha. Yeah. No, what I would
question between kedusha and kapara.
No. Well, no. Each of them, both of those are attached. Most of those are attached kedusha. In the Mishnah, we mentioned kapara, the kapara of a chatas, as being a reason why it has greater kedusha. So it's kedusha versus kedusha. What I was mentioning before, that Gemara is going to talk about later, on Tzadik Aleph, is the question if you have tadir versus mekudash, which one comes first. We were dealing with two types of kedusha. There's the kedusha of kapara, and there's the kedusha of being completely burnt on the mizeah. So which one comes first? Toshma. So come, we'll prove from our Mishnah. We said dam chatas koydim the dam oila. We said that the blood of the chatas comes before the blood of the oila, which seems to imply the dam oila who the kodim la evre oila lo kodim, implying it only comes before the blood of the oila. It doesn't come before the evarim of the oila. So therefore, that would answer the dam of the chatas comes before the blood of before the dam of the oila, implying only that it only comes before the dam of the oila, not any other part of the oila. On the other hand, therefore that would answer our question, what of the chatas comes first? Because kapara is more important.
The
kapara of the chatas, yes. The question is, adraba mistesa, adraba though, you can learn from the next part of the Mishnah, that it continues, evre oila kodim la emurim chatas. You should say the Mishnah is saying the other way around, that evorim of the oila come before the emurim of the chatas, implying that emurim chatas of the kodim ladam chatas le kodim, which maybe implies that they only come before the emurim of the chatas, but not before the blood of the chatas. That's fine, but nevertheless, if you're going to deduce from, if you're going to try to infer from the wording of the Mishnah, then you're arguing that we infer from the fact that it mentions dam ola as opposed to evre ola, but on the other hand, it mentions emure chata, so you could argue as opposed to dam chata.
So what does the Mishnah sell with evre instead of with dam?
Well, the question is one way or the other. Elam ahol lekal mishmar ina. So the answer is we can't deduce anything, we can't infer anything one way or the other. From the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us that dam comes before dam and Ivorim come before Emurim, but it doesn't say, the Mishnah is not telling us clearly what would happen if you had dam versus Ivorim. That's the question. We wouldn't know from all, we can't know, obviously one or the other part of our Mishnah is just worded in a way that it's not meant to deduce anything from it. And in fact, with this and the next couple of questions over here, the Rambam paskins that therefore, since we left it unanswered, then the Kohen can do whatever he wants.
Since
he can start with the Ivarim or with the Dam, whichever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have other cases later where we're going to have that it's left up to the discretion of the Kohen. Okay. Ivarim, now we have another, a related question. Dam Olav Emurei Chapa.
What do they accomplish?
I mean, they're, if you're talking, they don't have,
that's
nothing,
the main thing, no?
the blood is what accomplishes the kapara, is what accomplishes the ritzui of the korban by any korban. But once the blood is sprinkled, the next part of the mitzvah is that you're supposed to burn the evorim of the oila on the fire. What does that accomplish? Reyach nechayach l'Hashem. Nachasu afafon esham harkiv nachasu l'tayni. That Hashem, Kaviyachal, gets pleasure from the fact that he commanded that this is how it should be done, and it's being done. That's it.
So it should come first.
Okay, but the Emurim is also there, in that sense. And the fact of the matter, what do you mean? I mean, one second. The dam of the chatas, on the other hand, is making the person, the dam of the, it's for the kapara of the person. That the person should be merut of a chaviv, that it should be beloved by Hashem, again, before, right?
Yeah, but the question doesn't come before Hashem. First you should offer
the
and then do the kapara.
But nevertheless, the kapara is more important. Because you reestablish the relationship between the yid and the, you want to reestablish the relationship between the yid and the Eveshid before you start offering presents. In fact, one second. The important point is that when you have a person has been separated from Hashem by his Averis, the important thing first is to reestablish that relationship. After that, you can talk about presents. In fact, in Tanya these days, we're finishing up Igeres HaTshuva, but at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva, as we were so a couple of weeks ago in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe brought this idea that you, and based in fact on what we had earlier in our own sector, that what it is first you have La'acha should Risa Praklis after the defender gets up and speaks on behalf of the accused. Then later on you have a Dodo, and then later on you send a present to get yourself back into the king's or the judge's good graces. But you can't have that you're offering him presents first, an oila, so to speak, first, before while a person is still separated from Hashem by their aveva.
In a court room, the first thing that happens before the trial, everybody stands up and the judges arrive.
Yes.
That's like
no, that is not. Reyach Nechayach is like giving the judge a present. So fine. Acha should reach the haprachlis. Then after the defender has stood up for the person and defended him, and now he's being judged favorably, then afterwards he gives a present to get himself back into the king's good graces like he was originally. But first you have to take care of that. Therefore the blood of the chatas comes first. See, we were dealing with the question of blood of chatas versus a voting of oila, and ultimately the answer is we can't prove anything one way or the other from the Mishnah, so therefore the Kohen can do it in whatever order he wants.
To get far enough
for
that
Tisha B'Av one. I think one more. So now we have a related question. What about the other way around? If you have blood of an oila that has yet to be sprinkled, and you have a murim of a chatas that has to be offered on a mezuzah. It's the reverse question. And in fact, Tosafot says that the reason why the Gemara has to ask it separately is because before we were talking about the blood which is itself, which is Mechaker, and the Evorim themselves, which are the Kolel, which are completely burnt on the Mizeah. Here we have that coming the Koyak Kolel and the Koyak Mechaker. You have the Emurim of the Chatas, which are the next phase after the Kapora of the Chatas has been accomplished. And the Dam of the Oila, which is the prerequisite for the kolo, for the oil being completely burnt on the mizbeach. So it's like a one step away from the they're both secondary to the thing that gives the korban its actual higher kedusha. So therefore, the question is, dam oila kodem dukaosi koyach kolo, do we say the blood of the oila comes first because the importance of the oila is based on the fact that the whole korban is burnt on the mizbeach, so therefore even though the blood itself is not burnt on the mizbeach per se, still it partakes of that kedusha. Maybe the emurim of the chatas come first. Because the emurim are being brought as a consequence of the fact of a korban that accomplished kapara.
I'm pretty sure that in the 1500 years
after Ravina and Ravashi, nobody worried about whether it was too hot or too cold. It was stagnant.
They were in a mini ice age, from what I read.
For part of that time, maybe. It's
actually middle age.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Okay. Anyway, we're in the middle of learning Targa. I didn't really like the idea of waiting off for that or whatever. Okay. As I just said to Aaron, for 1500 years after the Vinavir of Ashi, they were able to sit and learn Gemara without worrying about the temperature, as we can also have a shikul instead of
generation.
Then let's strengthen ourselves instead of using excuses. Come on. Tashma, again, let's try to prove from our mission. Dam chatas koidim l'dam ola. We said in the mission the blood of the chatas comes before the blood of the ola, implying only dam chatas is the koidim l'dam ola, implying only the blood of the chatas comes first. Avalei mure chatas loy, but implying that the murim do not come before the blood of the ola. On the other hand, again, adraba be seifa, adraba though you could prove the other way around from the next part of the Mishnah. Avrei oila koidim l'emure chatas, if the limbs of the ola come before the emurim of the chatas, you could argue that implies only a vore oila who decodes the kadmi l'emure chatas, so maybe only the evorim of the oila come before the emurim of the chatas. Aval dam oila loy, maybe the blood of the oila does not, even though it's coming mikoyach. Again, Elamah, Halakha, Mishnah, you know, so again, you can't prove anything because the implications of the two clauses of the Mishnah contradict each other, and therefore we have no proof, and again, the Rambam Paskin, that means the Kohen can do them in whatever order he wants. Okay. Now a third one. Now we have to ask, among an Ola and an Oshem, which one comes first? The Dam of the Ola and the Dam of the Oshem, right. The Tosafot points out, if it was the blood of the Osham versus the Evorim of an Ola, there's no question the blood of the Osham would come first because of the Mechaper. Or actually, Tosafot says maybe the other way around, maybe just the opposite. We would take it as a given that the Evorim of the Ola come first because they're Kolel. But the question is, among the Dam of the Ola and the Dam of the Osham, the Dam Ola Kodim the Ka'osim is Koyach Kolel, would we say the blood of the Ola comes first because it's associated, comes from a Korban that's completely burned, which therefore has a higher level of Kodim? Or maybe the blood of the Osham comes first, because it's actually Mechaper. He actually has two different stories here. The Ka'asim Koyach, the Mechaper, or the Mechaper, but Rashi prefers the second here, instead of the blood of the Oshem itself, is Mechaper. Anyway, so what is Toshma? Again, let's prove from the Mishnah. Dam Chatas Koydim the Dam Oyla. The Mishnah had said that the blood of a Chatas comes before the blood of an Oyla, implying only the blood of a Chatas. That will Dam Oshem Lo, implying not the blood of an Oshem would not come before an Oyla. The Gemara, so that would be the answer, that the blood of the Oyla comes first. However, the Gemara says not necessarily, because the din who would be boil the Mishnah Dam Oshem, no, because maybe indeed the Mishnah could have mentioned also the case of the blood of the Oshem, but instead of Chatas, in other words, instead of like this, the Mishnah had started out Dam Chatas Kodim L'Dam Ola. Instead, conceivably, the Mishnah could have started off by saying Dam Oshem Kodim L'Dam Ola. But why didn't it do that? But I did boil the Mishnah Sefer Evrei Ola Kodim L'Murei Chatas. Now, the thing is, though, the next part of the Mishnah points out that there's a certain sense in which the Ola does have the advantage over the Chatas. That the limbs of the Ola are burnt on the Mizbeach before the Ezmurim L'Chatas. Now there, the Tanala Emore Osham, now there, if it mentioned instead Osham, instead of Chatas, have Amina, then you would mistakenly think, La Emore Osham would have me, La Emore Chatas would have me. Then you would think, maybe the Ibarim of the Oila come only before the Emurim of an Osham, which after all, an Osham does not accomplish such a strong Kapara as a Chatas, because most Ashamos either are not for Kapara at all, or they come for various other things that don't involve Kari. You would think if the Mishnah had said that there's the blood of an Asham comes before the blood of an Ola, but the Evorim of an Ola come before the Emurim of an Asham, we would mistakenly think, but maybe the Emurim of a Chatas come before the Emurim of an Ola. Mishmahachi Tana Chatas. So therefore, you could argue that's why the Mishnah mentioned Chatas as opposed to Chatas, that even with a Chatas, the Emurim of it come after the Evorim of an Ola, and how much more so an Asham. So not necessarily can you prove from the Mishnah that the blood of an Asham wouldn't be in that sense like the blood of a Chatas and come before the blood of an Ola. So we don't have any proof, but Toshma, we'll prove from the Mishnah continues, Chatas kodim l'Asham. The Mishnah continues that a Chatas comes before an Asham, because as we said, a Chatas is Mechaper, a Chatas comes before an Asham, because the blood is placed on the four counters on his back. So and on the Yisrael, and where an Asham is not, only Shem upon a Shein Adam. So Chatas who dekod malal Asham aval Ola loy. So the implication seems to be a Chatas comes before an Asham, but an Ola doesn't come before the Asham, because an Ola is also Shem upon a Shein Adam. My lab, Chatas is four times. Asham and Ola is both Shem upon a Shein Adam. And Ola is also Shem. So therefore, so if the Mishnah is saying the Chatas comes before an Asham, implies an Ola does not come before an Asham. My lav dam. L'chora, the Mishnah is talking about as far as blood, that blood of Chatas comes before blood of Asham. However, the implication is with Ola, it's not like that. The answer is loy, not necessarily. The implication is that Chatas comes before Asham, but Ola doesn't come before Asham. Maybe Asham indeed comes first. Well, but the blood is applied the same way. But the answer is loy a'imurim, not necessarily, because the Mishnah may be talking when it comes to Chatas versus Asham, it may be talking about which one a'imurim comes first. And in fact, Zekanami, in fact, we can prove that from the wording of the Mishnah, Dekatani Mepesha Domon Lusan, because the Mishnah uses the wording, the Mishnah uses the wording that its blood was placed, its blood was placed. And on the side of it here, it brings, she's talking about, this also brings, loy katani mepneshe nitna. Not that she, dam is washing the teva, is close. Nitna. Emurim is washing zaka. Dama is dam is washing the teva.
Dam is washing
the teva? Yes. So therefore, if it was saying that the blood is placed on more places, then it would use the expression nitken next. The fact that it says nitan implies nitan, therefore, is past tense. Besides it's masculine, also past. It's past tense. It was already placed. So therefore, in other words, so the blood has already been placed on the back, and now we're dealing with the next stage, which is amorim. So therefore, no proof one way or the other about Ola versus Asham. And again, therefore, no proof means the Kohen can do them in whatever order he wants. Now let's go through the details in our Mishnah, where the precedences that we said between each pair of korbanos. We said chatas kedem kula. We said, okay, so the chatas comes before the oila, that we established from above. But how do we know, but what about the rest of them? When we said chatas kedem kula, we said a chatas comes before an oila, before an osham rather, because a chatas, we said the blood is applied in more places on the mizbeach. The question is, adraba osham kodim. Adraba though, shouldn't you argue that maybe an osham should come ahead of the chatas? Shekein yesh lekitzva. Because the osham, unlike the chatas, has a minimum fixed value. With not every kind of osham, but many kinds of ashamas, the asham zelus, asham me'ilus, asham shivcha harufa, and osham toloi. All of those have, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, they have a minimum value. They all have to be, the ketesh shkolim, they all have to be a value of at least 2 sloy, as opposed to a chatas. As opposed to a chatas can be very, very cheap korban. Okay, the answer is that's a little healthy. The rishonim is be'achadik. Nevertheless, the fact that the blood of the chatas is placed in more places on the mizbeach outweighs that and is more important. Okay, fine. We said osham kodim l'toida. We said an osham comes before the toida because the osham accomplishes kapara. But the question, oh no, because not because it accomplishes kapara. We said because it's kodshik kodshim. So the question is, on the other hand, shouldn't you argue on the contrary, that maybe the Toda and the El Nazir should come first, because they involve, you bring bread along with them, whereas the Oshim you don't? The answer is, I feel a hockey, Kodshir Kodshim, I differ. Nevertheless, the fact that an Oshim is Kodshir Kodshim outweighs that. Next, Toda the El Nazir. Follow, we said a Toda and an El Nazir come before Shlomim, because the Toda and the El Nazir are, they come along with bread, and they're eaten for only one day. So the question is, Adadav Shlomim Kadmi, but on the other hand, shouldn't we argue that maybe Shlomim should go ahead of Toda or El Nazir? Shekein Yeshin the Sibur Kabayachid, because when it comes to a Shlomim, you have that they can be brought by the Sibur as well. Namely, what do we mean they're brought by the Sibur? Rashi says we're talking about the Kibsei Aseret, the Zub Cheshamei Sibur that are brought on Shavuot, together with the Shei Alechem. You have two sheets that are brought over there at Shlomim for the Sibur. Those are actually... Pesach is that, huh? No, Pesach can turn into a Shlomim. The Korban Pesach can turn into a Shlomim, we learned earlier in the Sefer, if it's not brought in its proper time. But if you were talking about on Shavuot, they would bring, as a Korban Sibur, they would bring a Shlomim, two sheep as a Shlomim. Unlike a regular shlomim, these are kodshe kodshe. These aren't regular shlomim that are eaten by anybody anywhere in Yerushalayim for 2 days and a night. These are kodshe kodshe, and they're only eaten by the male kohen and the azara for 1 day and 1 night. But nevertheless, they're still called shlomim, as opposed to, though, a toda or an el nazir are never brought by the sibur at all. The Ur Sameach brings a different explanation on it. He says, because after all, you could argue the Shalmei Sibur is a whole different type of thing. I mean, it's called Shlomim, fine, but other than that, it really has nothing in common with a regular Shlomim. So he says what the Gemara may mean over here by saying that the Shlomim comes with a Sibur means that the Sibur brings Shlomim as to get collected, not collectively, but many people coming together, namely at the Shalosh Regalim. You have to bring an Ola to the Iyah and a Shalmei Chagiga. You have to do an Ola for the fact that you're appearing in the Beit Mikdash, and a shlomim for the joy of Yatsev, the Shalmei Simcha. So therefore, in that sense, every person is bringing their own individual shlomim, but it's being brought by a large crowd, as opposed to a Toda and an El Nazir, which are being brought by individual people as they finish their Nazirus, or as they thank Hashem for getting out of a dangerous situation. Okay, so anyway, so the argument is that maybe a shlomim should come first. Fine, but the fact that a Toda and an El Nazir are eaten for only one day, that outweighs that consideration by Shlomo. Okay. In terms of Sidur. Yeah. Okay.
The Kedusha of being eaten one day is greater than the Kedusha of being
eaten by both sides. Okay. So now we have a question. Toda and El Nazir, Ezim and Kedim. What about among the Toda and the El Nazir themselves? The Mishnah mentioned them together, but what about if you have a case where Toda is being brought and an El Nazir are being brought, as I said, Ezim and Kodim, which one comes first? Do we say Toda Kodma Shekhen Tona Dalad Minei Lachem? Does the Toda come first because it has more types of bread that come with it? You have three types of masa and one of chomet that come with it, as opposed to the El Nazir, you only have two types. Or maybe the El Nazir comes first because you have other korbanos that have to come with it. The El Nazir is not just one korban that's being brought by itself as a shlomim. There are two other korbanos that are brought with it also, an ola, an ola, and a chatas. With the Eilam Hazer, yes. Eilam Chazer, yeah, but Eilam Chazer. So therefore, maybe in that sense, maybe it's more important than the Torah because there are other korbanos coming with it. The answer is Toshma. We learn the answer is come. We learn from a brisa. Zu kodemus lazu. Yes, this meaning the Torah comes ahead of the Eilam Hazer. Because the fact that the Torah comes with more kinds of bread outweighs the consideration of the fact that the Eilam Hazer comes together with other korbanos. That's how it is, maybe because then you have more that's being offered in the business that should given to the Kohenim. Whatever it is, that's how it is. Therefore, it doesn't have sense, that's more Kedusha. Okay, what about Hashlomim Kohenim and the Bechor? We said the Shlomim comes before the Bechor because the Shlomim requires several things that the Bechor doesn't. The Shlomim, we said, first of all, is Shem Matana, Shem Ava. The Bechor is only one Matana. And the Shlomim also requires Smicha and Mestachim and Snufa called the Bechor, which the Bechor doesn't have any of those things. So the question is,
Smicha,
that you have to lean on your Shtayim Shein Abra. You have Mestachim, and Snufa called the Bechor, that you wave the chest and the thigh before giving them to the Kohen. Right. So therefore, Adrava Bechor Kohen, but on the other hand, shouldn't you argue that maybe the Bechor comes first, Shekhen Kershot and Merechem, because of the Bechor is Kadosh from when it's born, or even before it's born in a certain sense, the Nechal HaKayinim, and it's eaten only by the Kayinim, as opposed to a Shlom that's eaten by everybody. The answer is, Afilah Hochim, Mitzvah Sister, it's Adin. Fine, but nevertheless, the extra Mitzvah that you have with the Shlomim, that you have with it, Mitzvahim, and Smicha, and so on and so forth, that outweighs the advantage of the Bechor that it was born in Kaddish.
A lot of your questions.
Yeah. Okay. HaBechor Kodim Fuller, then we said that Bechor comes before Meister.
Doesn't have the same condition as fine. But
transfers
if
you don't want it. Yeah, okay. Right. Good enough. Okay. Okay, then we said, we said, Bechor comes before Maisa because the Bechor is Kodesh from the womb and it's eaten only by the Kohenim, as opposed to the Maisa is eaten by anybody and it's only become Kodesh later when you designate it as Maisa. So the question is, Adrama Maisa Kodesh, and the Kaddish, Lafon of Al-Akra. Shouldn't we argue that the Maisa outweighs the Bechor because it's able to be Makadish, other ones that are adjacent to it in number? Namely the case we had earlier in Armistessa, or actually we had at the very end of the 30s. We had the case over there, where the person gets mixed up and he calls the ninth one that comes out of the pen, he calls it by mistake number 10, and then he goes back and calls the actual 10th one number 9, and he calls the 11th one number 10, and we said all three of them have a degree of scripture, as opposed to by Bechor, you have no such thing. There's no such thing. A Bechor is a Bechor. The firstborn animal is a Bechor. There's no such thing. It's not going to be a Kaddish, the second animal that's born from the same mother. Yeah. But the point is, as opposed to Meister, where you have not only the 10th one can be Kaddish, but also the 9th one and also the 11th one. Yeah. So in that sense, Meister should outweigh Bechor. The answer is, nevertheless, the fact that it has Kedusha from birth still outweighs that consideration. Okay, Meister Kodim Lo'ezus Kula. Then we said Meister comes before birds, Korbanus, because we said Meister is Min Zemach, it's a type of animal Korban, and animal Korbanus are more important, because there's more of those, therefore more Mitzvahs. So the question is, Adra Lo'ezus Kadmi Sheken Kodshe Kodshim. Okay, but shouldn't birds come first, because they're Kodshe Kodshim? Both of them, the Chata Sa'oif and the Oila Sa'oif, by definition, are both Kodshe Kodshim. The answer is, Afilahochi min zevach adim. Fine, but nevertheless, the fact that the Meister is a min zevach, even though it's kodshe kalim, that outweighs the fact that the min zevach means that it's a type of animal korban, which animal korbanos are more, have a greater kedusha, because there's more types of animal korbanos out there. It's more common than the animal korbanos are all. There are more different types of kapara that are accomplished. Okay. Omer Avinu Bar Shila. Okay, so now that we went through all of the various cases of our Mishnah, now we're going to deal with a side issue which we're going to use our Mishnah as a proof. Amar Ravina Bar Shila, a Murei Kodshim Kalim Shiyotsu Lifnei Zrikat Dam. If you have, so with Kodshim Kalim, now the Imurim of them don't really have their full Kedusha until the blood of the Korban is sprinkled. That's why we said before, Me'ilah doesn't apply to them up until that point. But if they were taken out of the Azara before the blood of the Korban was sprinkled, Sulin, then those Imurim become possible to be offered on the Mizbech. So even though, in other words, the point is, Rashi says, even though The Rashi is over here. Sum. Yes, it's up next to the Hagoras Haba. So even though when it comes to Me'ilah, they don't yet have the status of Kedusha as far as Me'ilah before the blood is sprinkled, but as far as the din of being taken out of the Azorah, they become possible, they do already have that Kedusha at that point.
Together.
But it doesn't. We've seen before that Me'ilah and Kedusha don't always go together. The Tana Tuna, and indeed we look, indeed our Tana has taught in our Mishnah something that supports that. Rashi explains over here in other places that Tana Tuna means our Tana. Now, there's a couple of other explanations among the Rishonim that it means that it means the Tana has taught or whatever. Anyway, the point is we see the proof, it's not even Tana Kama, our Mishnah is the Kula Alma. There was no argument in our Mishnah. But our Tana of our Mishnah taught something that proves that to me, because the Mishnah uses the expression by Meiser, when Meiser is Kotchim Kalim, we said the expression of Meiser is Zevach, because it is a Zevach, it is an animal carbon, the Yeshne Kotchim Kotchim, and it has a Kotchim Kotchim angle to it, in the sense that dom of me is the imurim, that it's blood and it's imurim are put on them or go on them there. Now we have to ask, why does it have to mention blood? Vishlema imurim lasnu ba'opis. I can understand why the Mishnah has to mention imurim, because you don't have that by birds, at least by a chata ta'op, you don't have any imurim. Or once the blood is squeezed out towards the mizbeach, and the kohen eat all the rest of it, yeah, there's no imurim or anything are taken out. So I understand why the Mishnah has to mention imurim. But after all, the blood you have by birds just like you have by animals. So why is the Mishnah bothering to mention the word dam? So it must be, therefore, the implication must be that the Mishnah wants to inform us, incidentally, a murim ki damon, that there's a certain similarity between a murim and blood. Namely, ma damon l'tnei zirka, when it comes to kodesh kalim, because that's what the ma'aser is. That madomo l'tnei, just like the blood of the korban, we're talking about over here that's taking place before zrika, because after zrika, it's not relevant to talk about that the blood is kodesh kodeshim. After that, the blood is already sprinkled on the mizbeach. Not the mitzvah. It doesn't really have any more kedusha. So obviously, when the Mishnah uses the word domo, it means we're talking about before the blood was sprinkled. After imurim, kodim zirka. The same thing that imurim that the Mishnah is talking about must be we're talking about before the blood was sprinkled. Zirka kodim lahu kodshe kodshin. And the Mishnah is already calling them at that point kodshe kodshin. Before the sprinkling, they already are considered kodshe kodshin, and therefore they should become possible when they're taken out of the azar. And another similarity, your madomim nisubiyose, afimurim nisubiyose. Just like the blood becomes possible when you take it out of the azar, that everybody agrees to. So also the blood, so also the emorim should become possible, mixed double yotz, should become possible when you take them out of the Azar. So that's the proof from the mission. That's why we're bringing this in. Okay. So the Gemara says, name a Messiah lay. Okay, can we say that what Ravina Bar Shila is saying is supported by the following machloikas amiroi. The Sar Kodshim Kalam Shiyotza Lifnei Zrikas Dom. If you have the meat, Ravina Bar Shila was talking about the emorim. So we'll get back to Emurim in a minute. But for the moment, we have machlokes about meat of Kodshim Kalim, and then from that, we'll deduce what they hold about Emurim. So the Sire Kodshim Kalim, Shiyotza Lifnei Zrikas Damim, if you have meat of Kodshim Kalim that was taken out of the Azara before the blood was sprinkled, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Kosher, Reshlokesh Amar Potel. Rabbi Yechanan says meat is still kosher, and Reshlokesh says it's potel. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Kosher, Hoyo V'Sokhe Lotit. Rabbi Yechanan says it's kosher because fine. It wasn't supposed to have gone out of the Azor yet. The fact of the matter is, it's Kodesh and Kalim. Eventually, they're going to be taken out, and they can be eaten anywhere in their Shalayim. Okay, but therefore you can't argue that it should make them possible. We're going to see. We're going to see soon what we mean by kosher and possible. But wait. Okay, Rish Lakish Amar Apostle, Adayin Lo Yigiyaz Ma'anei Lotis. Rish Lakish says Apostle because the fact is it wasn't time for it to come out yet. It wasn't yet Musar B'Achila until the blood is sprinkled. So the point is, Ad Kan Lo Tzligi Ela B'Basar. Now we see that Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish are only arguing as far as the meat itself. Avo Be'Emurim Loi, but they don't disagree about the Emurim. So apparently even Rabbi Yechanan would agree that the Emurim are possible if you take them out before Zika. Well, that would support what Rabbi Bar Shila is saying. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily, because hu adin de be'emurim namisim, actually the same machloikas might apply as far as the emurim as well. They might be arguing on both. That Rabbi Yochanan would say that emurim also are kosher if they were taken out before Zvika, which would mean, before Zvika, which would mean, by the way, Rashi says, which would mean, when we just used the line a minute ago, when we said, hurl the sofei losses, that wasn't part of what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. That was the Gemara's assumption of what Rabbi Yochanan would hold. But if we're saying now that Rabbi Yochanan might hold the same thing as far as the emurim, then that wouldn't hold, because obviously the emurim is not sofei losses, they're not meant to be taken out of the azar. So you could argue, though, that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing about the Emurim as well, with Rish Lakish, and saying that it still remains kosher. So therefore, the reason why he said both of them are kosher is not because Sofer lost this, because in the case of the Emurim, it's not so. Whatever it is, he has his reason to say that they're still kosher.
We don't know
what his reason is. Well, I become Rifted, he's a boster, so why would we mention Machloka specifically regarding meat? The reason is because we would want to be the Amoroyim who are telling us this Machloka is wants to tell you how far Rish Lakish would go in passing it. That little bosses, the sofa losses, even when it comes to the meat, where you can definitely use the logic of sofa losses. Nevertheless, Omer Adayin Lo Yigiyas Mani losses. Nevertheless, Rish Lakish is arguing that since it's not time for it yet, then it's too early and therefore it's possible. It's very mocking. Now, Tosfos points out that, and then Shitta Mukhabethos also points out, the Gemara could have said the other way around. We could have presented, in that case, points of that logic. We could have presented the Machlokas regarding the Emurim and say how far Rabbi Yochanan is going in being Makel. Especially, in fact, the Gemara itself uses such logic in other places. In fact, the Gemara in some other places uses the expression, Koicha de Hetera Odin. We would rather be informed how far the Makel is willing to go in being Makel. And Rashi, at the beginning of Beis, explains the logic of it, because the person is machmir, not necessarily is he machmir because he knows for a fact he has to be. It might be because there's a suffix, and therefore he's machmir to be on the safe side. It's easier to be machmir than to be makel, basically. To be makel, you have to have brace of places. You have to really know yourself. So why doesn't it do that over here? The Tosfos just leaves it as a statement, as a question. Achronim talk about the reason is because, after all, there would be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there would be a kula in it because they're not possible. On the other hand, there would be a chumra in it, as we're going to say soon, that would mean that a person who eats them is going to be chayiv if they're pigle, or if they're noiser, or if they're tamei, where if they're possible to begin with, then there's nothing to talk about. You're not chayiv for them.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, the fact is there's a chumra that can come out of it.
No,
so therefore,
why is that secondary? Because it's secondary.
Yeah.
It's an indirect chumra.
But nevertheless, well, you could argue whether it's indirect or not, but it is a pretty strong chumra. It is a pretty strong chumra. He's right, because it would mean a chiyuv kares as opposed to a chiyuv lav. Yeah. But whatever it is, so the point is, in that case, then we might as well just talk about the meat and say how far Rish Lakish is going, that he's machmer on it, that it's possible. Okay.
Right, or how far he's made
of, yeah.
That is
the Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Ketanoi. Should we say that this machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is actually like a machloikas tanoi? A braisa says, Emure kodshim kalim shiyotu lifnei zrikas dam. If you're going to say that, if we're going to assume that even though the machloikas was originally presented as far as the meat, you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are also arguing as far as the emurim, then let's turn it around. We have a braisa where we see that the tanoim are arguing about the emurim, and we should be able to, and at least we should say that part of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's machloikas should be for exactly that machloikas tanoim. Which in that case, you have the usual question, and in that case, why are they bothering to repeat the machlokas if it's the same thing as Tanoim? If we're going to say it's machlokas Tanoim, because we have a brisa, a mure kodshim kalim shiyotu lifnei zrikas damim. If you have a murim of kodshim kalim, like a meister of our mishnah, that are taken out of the azara before zrikas damim, Rabbi Yehuda ema ein mayim behen. Rabbi Yehuda says meila does not apply to that, because for meila to apply to them, it would have to be that they were made kosher to be offered on the mizbeach. Through the Zvika. Here the Zvika is not going to make them kosher to be offered on the Mizbeach. Therefore, they never gain their Kedushas HaGuf to be Chayav for Me'ila to apply to them. The Ein Chayavin Aleim from Pigul Noisav Atomei, and a person is not Chayav for eating them if they were Pigul or if they were Noisav or Tomei, because Pigul would have to be only if there was a proper Zvika, and here you didn't have a proper Zvika that was done on behalf of these Emurim because they were possible. There wouldn't be chayav for noiser because noiser is only for what's supposed to be eaten, tos mame, and here it's emurim, so it's not relevant. and for Truma, and for Truma, because Rashi brings from a Gemara and Menachos that says that only in a case where a person is mutter to eat it when he's tahor, only then is a person chayav to eat it when he's tame. But again, here they murim before zrika, even that, meat itself only applies after zrika, as we learned earlier in Amasasa. They murim, this is again considered before zrika, because they were outside the Azara, therefore none of these things apply. Rabbi Akiva omen murim behind the chayyavan alem, shum figul noise of a tame. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that mi'ila would apply to them, because pashtus, once the blood is sprinkled, then they become mutter to be offered on a mizbeach, and so therefore figul noise and tame would apply to them. But the point is, according to what Ravina Bar Shila was saying, he was saying that they're puzzled flat out. Whereas here we seem to be saying that so then we mentioned Machloikas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, and now if we say Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish are arguing also about Emurim, then that's exactly the same Machloikas. My lab.
But say here they were arguing about
and here we are doing about... No, because possible is possible. Whether Me'ila applies and whether Pigal Moshe and Tomei applies, on the face of it, depends on whether they're possible or not. The Ma'ila v'dehadur Eilinu, please. So wouldn't it be, shouldn't we assume that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about the case where after they were taken out of the Azara, they were brought back in at some later point, after they were outside the Azara during the Zrika, or no, they were inside, no, sorry, they were inside the Azara during the Zrika, overhaul, please. And therefore, the machlokes will be as follows: the marisov and mitzvah libiyose, or marisov and mitzvah libiyose. So Rabbi Eliezer would hold, nevertheless, the fact that they were taken out made them possible. The fact that you brought them back in afterwards doesn't help; they still remain possible. And Rabbi Akiva would be saying that not.
There is
the same machlokes then, because we were saying Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish were arguing about the case where the meat was taken out before Zrikas Domin. Over Sofer lost this or not. And we argued that maybe they're also arguing about their Emurim. So here we're saying they're arguing about their Emurim on the basis of the question, do they actually become possible by being taken out of the Azara or not?
So
which would be exactly the same point.
All we're arguing about the Dam or the Emurim.
No, we weren't talking about the Dam before. We were talking about the women. We're talking about before Zrikas Adam. He was also before Zrikas Adam. They were taken out before Zrikas Adam, and now we're assuming that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are talking about where they're brought back in before Zrikas Adam, but nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says, just the fact they were taken out of the Azara made them possible. Which we
can't get
chorus. Yeah, and therefore chorus wouldn't apply for Pigal Moser and Tommy, right? I'm going to pop up with the Hodrai Lina Kula Amalekli. So no, the Papa says, no. If he actually brought them back in, then there would be no argument. Everybody would agree that people know so and tell me to apply to them, and maybe even that they'd be kosher. The machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva though could be about the case where they're actually still outside the Azara at the time of Zrika. Therefore, this is different machloikas over Hopligi. So therefore, the machloikas turns on a different point. Rabbi Eliezer holds that once something is outside the Azara, then when it's outside at the Azara, at the time of Zrika, then Zrika is not effective for it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold, even though it's outside, the Zrika that's being done on the Mizrach is still effective for them. Well, wait. Okay. No, because we could also say that Rish Lakish is only talking about Boster. We want to say he's arguing about Emurim in order to support Ravina Bar Shila's claim. But wait. Okay. Okay. Okay, there is such an argument. However, the Gemara asks, for Rapapa Hudamar, but don't we find Rapapa himself saying it also in Menachos about a case involving the Shtei Alechem? You have a case where they're now, what's supposed to happen again, the Shtei Alechem that are brought on Shavuos are brought together with the two Kvasim, two Shalmei Tzibur and a number of other Karbonis. What's supposed to happen is the Shtei Alechem are supposed to be inside the Azara at the time that those Karbonis are being shefted and the blood sprinkled or whatever. But what if you have a case, they were inside the Azara at the time of the Shtei, and then afterwards they were taken outside? So, Rapapa says right here, but the Isnu Avroi Kula Amalei Sligi, if they're outside at the time, Avronim is outside, if they're outside the Azorah at the time of the Zrika, then there's no argument. Everybody, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who have the same machlokas over here, they have a machlokas over there also, they would both agree that they are possible. The machloikas between them, Rav Papa says over there, is only if you took them out, but then you brought them back in before the Zrika. So therefore, applying that to our case over here, why should we say that the machloikas over here involving the Emorim is if they were outside the time of the Zrika? The answer is Hanimila Gabish Shealach, Gabish Shealachim. Yes, but the difference is, they were talking about the Shealachim, the Lab Gufi Gezivcha. The Shealachim themselves are not the actual carbon itself. There's something that comes along with the carbon. So therefore, even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree that they can't be made mutter for the Koyanim to eat if they're outside of the time of the Zrika, because they're not part of the carbon itself. Aval Emurin. But when it comes to the Emurim, the Gufei Dezivchahu, where after all the Emurim are part and parcel of the Korban itself, there is the Dam and the Emurim all came from the same animal. V'de'ismi, Rav Roi Pligi, nevertheless, we can still say, like after all, like Rav Papa said, that the Machloikas is when they are outside the Azorah at the time of Zrika. Rav Roi is from the same word as Bar. Yeah, it's the same character as Bryce, but yeah, I mean, outside, yeah. So that's the point, in other words. So therefore, because the Emurim are part of the same carbon that the blood came from, therefore we would say that Rabbi Akiva is going to be more makel and say, even if they're outside the Azorah at the time of Zrika, nevertheless they're still kosher, because the Zrika Sadam is still makel then. Even if they're outside the Azorah.
Because
they're all part of the same carbon, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem, which are a separate entity, and they're becoming mutter through the sprinkling of the blood of the Shalmei Sibur. That's different. Then Rabbi Akiva would agree they have to actually be in the Azorah at the time. So now, what the Gemara has just done is to say that Ravina Bar Shila, who was saying that the Emurim that were taken out before Zrikas Adam are possible, on the face of it, it comes out that Rav Papa is arguing with that and saying that at least according to Rav Akiva, who the halacha is like, they wouldn't be possible. Tosfos earlier in now on the face of it, that's how it is, and in fact the Rambam paskins like Rav Papa, like what Rav Papa is saying like Rav Papa's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, not like Ravina Bar Shila, that in fact these Emurim are kosher to offer on the Mizeach. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, on the basis of a sugya over there, and also the Ravid on this Rambam, disagree with that and say no. Rav Papa is not really arguing with Ravina Bar Shila. Ravina Bar Shila was saying they're kosher. All Rav Papa is adding, based on this machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, is that Rabbi Akiva is going to be machmir, he's going to say, they are possible to be offered, but pigul, noser, and tome would also apply to them. To that extent, the Zrikas Adam helps, is effective, that it gives them their future haguf, and now makes it that if pigul, noser, or tome applies to them, that person's going to be chayav kares for eating them. But not as far as being machmir. That would still go with what Ravina Bar Shila said, that they're possible to be offered on
both sides.
So therefore, it comes, he's maximum on both sides. The Tosfos learns like that, and the Ravid also learns like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Remember, in the getting the Rav that was maximum on both sides, and the woman said, you'll be turned over, and he had to turn over.
It's sharing, yeah. Okay.
And then he died, I think.
When it comes to the meat, where before we had Rav Yechanan saying kosher, and the Shlokish says possible, there kosher means exactly what it sounds like. It's kosher to be. Okay. Then we said Ophis Kodman for it. We said that birds come before Menachos, because we said birds are Mine Gomim, because they involve blood. So the question is, Adam Menachos Kodman, Shekhan Yeshin, the Sibur could be offered. On the other hand, shouldn't a Mincha come first, because a Mincha can be brought by the Sibur as well? Namely, you have the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, whereas you never have any Kodman of the Sibur that's brought, no bird is ever brought as a Kodman Sibur. The answer is, that's the Hachim, Mine Gomim, Adifi. Nevertheless, though, something that involves blood is still more important. And we said Minchas Choyte Fola. We said among Menachas themselves, we said the Minchas Choyte comes first, ahead of a Minchas Nedaba, because it's Machaper. So again, the question is, Ad Adam Minchas Nedava Kodemes, shouldn't a Minchas Nedava come first? You can't tell on a Shemin Olavina, because a Minchas Nedava has more components. You also have to have oil, and you also have to have Lavina, as opposed to a Minchas Kodemes, the Davka does not have those things. Just plain flour. Just plain flour. The answer is, nevertheless, a minchas kote is more important because it accomplishes kapara. And again, as we were saying before, to accomplish kapara, to make the person is reconnected with Hashem again, is more important than giving presents, than giving the dove. You first take care of the avera, you first clean up the after effects of the avera, and then you give presents. Yes, sumer about the taste. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.